What a great way to start a service off with some baptisms. Amen. That's what I said. I like that. Could do that every week. It's great. Our director of our men's life house is Carl. Where's Carl? He's still getting dressed. Oh, there he is right there. Change clothes on me. Okay. Anyway, Carl runs our men's house, and Carl also a pastor and a preacher, and there was in his last church. Anyway, these were some people in his church that had come to the Lord and just haven't been baptized yet. And I said, Carl, you got to be the guy. You need to finish it up with them. So that was great. And then so I thought that was wonderful. And still there's yet one more in the family to be baptized. We'll do that when he was ill today. So there was another one. And, of course, Jeff, wherever Jeff is, right in the back, he's from here in town. So I said, Carl, let's do Jeff too. So it's good. Love baptisms. Amen. I love seeing all your faces here today. I like that smile, Bob. That's a good smile. When you smile, that makes me smile. We are in a series we're finishing up today. I have never given my notes out except for this series. So in your bulletin, you have a copy of my notes. And sometimes I go by them and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't even preach with notes, but this one here I did, and keeps me on track a little bit. But we're in our third and last part of this series. I didn't want to make it too long, but it is on spiritual warfare, basically the armor of God. We talked about already in the first part there, we talked about the principalities and the darkness and the forces of those things, and to be strong and stand firm in Christ. And in the second part, we definitely talked about the armor of God, each part being the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. We went through those as well. And we also talked about some things that may seem like some possibilities that you might conclude. You might find out that you might be in spiritual warfare yourself. And we talked about some of those things. And I think those were helpful for people. At least that's what I heard. But today we're going to talk about this, what the fight really looks like. We know what it's like to get beat up in spiritual warfare, but the fight, when you got to stand strong. We did talk about the shield of faith and those things in the Word of God. Those are great. We need those every. We just need that full armor. But you can have all the full armor on, but if you don't know how to pray, you're going to have a hard time making it. Us as Christians, we are going to have battles. We found out that this battle that we fight in spiritual warfare is not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. But it also, the consequences and some of the things go and flow over into the physical. But it is really a spiritual battle. And I want to share with you today, as we close this out, I hope that you get something out of it. If you did, the other notes, I think, are on the windowsill back there if you missed any. But I want to read out. It's going to be out of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go there. And then I'm going to go ahead and pray. And we're going to begin and finish up this series. Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity today, Lord, to come into your place, your home, our home, a group of believers, even amongst them, maybe some unbelievers. But we pray, Father, your spirit, Lord, would be upon us in a strong way, that you would just give us insight, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, which you'd have for us today, that we might understand more about what our life is here when we face spiritual warfare. We thank you for this opportunity today. In Christ's name, amen. So what we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And Paul says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." In spiritual warfare, when you are going to try to do what God's will is in your life, you will have attacks. If you don't think that you will be attacked for doing God's will, you are in wonderland. This is why some of you won't serve, because you've been there. But I want to share some things with you today. First of all, I want to come up with a couple of things here. There are five pieces, I believe, in the prayer part. Many of us know those. Adoration is a part of prayer, where you're just lifting up God. You're putting yourself where you are. We are the creation, and God is the creator. What it does is it keeps putting him here and us here. American church likes to put us right up here with God, but we don't. No, we are down here. We are servants of God. If you can handle it, we're actually slaves to God. If you can handle that part, but we are slaves to God. But what a greater master than having Jesus Christ himself. Amen. So adoration is a part of prayer, but also confession. I don't know about you, but I need to confess before the Lord. And if you may not think so, Scripture says you need to do that too. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. So we need to confess. But also part of prayer is supplication. Those are when I need to ask God of something. Let me just take a side note. It's okay. It's good that you pray for your needs, but it's okay also from time to time to pray for those wants. That makes sense? I want to marry this person. God, I want you to bless this. It's okay. That's okay. I think God wants to hear your full heart. But also thanksgiving, where we thank God for what He's did and how awesome that He is. And then the last part is, a lot of them, you won't find this on a lot of written places because most believe in 4, but I believe in 5. Number 5 is listening. Listening is part of prayer. Who wants to be on a phone conversation and just be the talker, one person talking? Holy Spirit has a lot to say. We have to learn how to be good listeners. Amen? In the last week, all I keep hearing is good listening. We got to be good listeners. I think that's part of me too as well. So we have to be good listeners. And God has something to say. What we do is we end up praying and say, Lord, we end up praying and we ask the Lord to listen to our prayers. And we ask Him to jump on our bandwagon and then we just leave it alone. We don't even really let Him speak. We just ask Him to be on what we're doing. And that's not really praying. Okay? But we're talking about spiritual warfare today. So that's where we're going to keep driving this down to. So when we're praying during spiritual warfare, that is your battle cry. I'm talking about the armor of God. That is your battle cry. You have a marriage that's been messed up? That's going to be your battle cry. You got kids that are wayward? That's going to be your battle cry. You financially are maybe at a ruin or you're at some places that are really tough? That's going to be your battle. Your battle cry is your prayer. And sometimes you can stand up and you can pray and you can get your battle cry going on before the Lord. Or you can get on your knees. You just got to plead it out to God. And when you do that, what you're asking is Jesus to come to the fight. You're asking Jesus to get involved in this fight that you're in. Now, it's one thing when you know it's spiritual warfare. It's another when you don't even know what's going on and you're just being tormented. But that spiritual warfare the darkness is there to tear you and your life down and your ministry down and your family down. But I want to tell you cannot get through spiritual warfare without praying. Not going to happen. And sometimes you even have to fast. You see, the things I've already said today is pulling us more closer. It is to pull us closer to Christ. But that's not what a lot of people want. We don't want that because it reveals things in our life that we don't want to admit, that we don't want to confess that are not right. If it's a spiritual thing, Scripture says it is, then you need a spiritual being. You need spiritual power. And that is, Christ is the only one that can do that. And it is hard sometimes. It's hard because you're going through an emotional roller coaster. You're feeling hurt. You've been hurt. You've going through some dark times. And your emotions are all over the place. That's why sometimes it is hard to pray. But that's where you need to be. You need to be into that part where you're praying. Because Satan wants you to feel sick. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to get isolated. He wants you to feel separated. He wants you to think that God's not there, but Scripture tells us something different. Never will I what? Forsake you? He says, I'll do that. He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But also, if we draw close to God, we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. That's the power of the Scriptures. As I always say, it's not just about reading them. It's not just about learning them. It's about experiencing the power of the Scripture. If it says, if you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. So if I'm going to trust in that, I'm going to be faithful in that no matter what's going on in my life. If I take steps toward God, Scripture says He will move toward me. And that is the people that do that are the ones that are experiencing the power of Scripture. We got to believe that the Scriptures are powerful. It's all kinds of things. It's a book of instruction, wisdom, all kinds of things. It gives us history, those things. But it is still a book. It is God's Word, a power. Those Scriptures are powerful. And we got to understand that. So I want to share some things about spiritual warfare, the prayers and requests of when people need them. Now we talked about this list of other things, of things of how you might feel that you might be in spiritual warfare. But here I want to just say, when we start to praying with God, praying to God, bringing Him to the fight, getting that battle cry out, we have our armor on, we're set there, and we're still taking the hits. Okay, let me just share. Some hits might look like this. Let's go back to our first. Hits might look like this. All of a sudden, your children are not, they're just not obeying. They're just not listening. You're having problems at work. Things aren't the way it should be. And there's pressure. The husband and wife, the marriage may not be working out so good right now. Your finances are, something's wrong. You're still making the same amount, but it's not going as far, and you're not spending anymore. You just can't figure it out. That's sometimes what spiritual warfare looks like. Or you're on your, or in your own mind, you're having thoughts that are not godly. So let's look at this. This is prayer for release of bondage and strongholds. That's when we go and we come to Christ and we get that battle cry on, because in our spirit we want to serve God, we want to be with God, but there's a flesh part that keeps pulling us back into bondage and back into strongholds we know that are sinful. That old house around on First Street. I know where they are. Not all of them, but I know where some of them are. Going to those places you shouldn't be going because you know what's there, and you know who's there. And we have to pray to God to give us strength to walk away from those and separate from some people in our lives. But also to help and to pray that God will get us away from some dark places. A dark place. You know what a dark place is? When you start, it's in the mind. It's in the mind. That's where Satan attacks. It's in the mind that you're no good. You're a loser. You're a horrible father. You're a horrible mother. You're horrible at all the things that you do. Everything you touch, you taint. You're no good at anything. And people go into using. People go into drinking. They go into deeper. They get into a darker place. And then it comes for many people. It's becoming into a place where they feel isolated. They feel lonely. And then they get the thoughts of, I think I just might want to check out. And we know that is on the rise for sure the last couple years. Do you not think that Satan's involved with that stuff? God is the author of life. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The ultimate destroy is to destroy a life completely. But there's also times when people come to a place where they have visions in the daytime, when they not understanding why they have visions in the daytime that are not godly. Well, they have nightmares, they have night terrors, they have those demonic dreams, and there is a difference between a bad dream and a demonic dream. Some of you may know what that is. You've experienced it. That's a dark place. And you're gonna have to pray through that. You don't wish people luck through that. You got to pray through that. Why? Because it is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. We also need to pray through when there's division. When a division comes into a church or into a family, we need to pray about that. Satan loves to divide, especially marriages. He loves to divide. He loves to divide the church. Then there's the part where you're praying the people, the whole thing about forgiveness. Learning how to forgive those who've done you wrong. Let me tell you, if you hold on to something, and I know there are some horrible things that's happened to people. Horrible things. But if you can't get, you let that run your life, it will ruin your life. And if you can't let go somewhere, find some help, you can't let go, it will be your life. Even if it happened to you at the age of 6. I also want to take a side note. Just running up to something and saying in Jesus' name and be done with it. I want to remind you, Scripture tells you we just don't run up to something and just say in Jesus' name and think everything is going to be okay. Sometimes God allows the process. Sometimes God allows things to happen. Sometimes God allows really horrible things to happen. Read the book of Job. Horrible things, loss. But I want to remind you that God sees all of it. It's still under his, he still has it. No one pulls a fast one on God. Not even you. Not even me. So forgiveness is another thing that sometimes people struggle with their whole life. Also, when we go through spiritual warfare, sometimes we need to pray to break the family sin. Alcohol, I don't know what it is about alcohol, next generation, alcohol, until somebody gets saved. And then they take that and they start turning that into not an alcoholic family, but a God-fearing, loving Jesus family. Does that mean they're perfect? No. Does that mean they don't have setbacks sometimes? No. But I'm telling you, it's better to fight a fight with Jesus than not, because if you don't have him, you already lost. Sometimes in spiritual warfare, you need a door to open. You can't open it. Satan's got it closed. Sometimes you're going through life and you need a door closed, but you can't close it. Satan's got it open. Let me remind you who holds the keys of all things, and that is Jesus Christ. If you go back to I believe it's Matthew chapter 7, you'll see Jesus can open any door. And he can close the doors that need to be closed, but you can't. But he can. So I want to remind you that prayer, this is just a few things that helps through prayer. But experiencing warfare is a tough thing. You yourself have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. Now I know this. Sometimes I'm easy on myself, but I'm harder on others. Am I the only one like that sometimes? I have to pray through that. We are hard sometimes on others and easy on ourselves. This is why when we go and we, the Scripture says, when it comes to communion, to examine yourself. But we also need to examine ourselves when we go to pray. But also not just bringing what you feel you need to. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord. Because when you're in the spiritual warfare, you're in it to attack, you're all over the place. The only thing is secure and sound is who you are in Christ. But we can see things and do things that are not sometimes right. We want to point fingers. But when you go to that part, to examining yourself, you need to include, Lord, is there anything in me? Anything in me that is not right? Anything in me that I don't see? Because I want to take all obstacles and hindrances and mountains out of the way. Because I already got a lot of problems going on, and I want to have a good communication line with you. You need to set that line up good, right out the gate. You need to set your prayer life, and you need to set that line of communication up, God, with real good. And the first thing you do is you got to get yourself cleaned up. And nobody does it better than Jesus, amen? So I'm going to go. And even the Scripture says, even if my conscience is clear, it doesn't make me innocent. So we're going to go. I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me in this time of darkness. I don't understand. But also we need to stay faithful. We need to stay faithful. And we need to get faithful. You can't fight spiritual warfare if you're not attending church. You can't fight spiritual warfare if you're not praying. You can't fight spiritual warfare if you're not reading God's word. Be careful when you're in spiritual warfare that you go lingering off to other books and you start searching. Be very cautious with that. You might find something that's going to speak into your life that's not biblical. And your mind is open. But we got to be faithful and faithful to God. And one thing we don't do is we don't fall away. That's what Satan wants us to do. Fall away. And that's when that comes. That is the most dangerous time in your life when you're going through spiritual warfare and you fall away from Christ. You've drifted from your help. You've drifted from the one that could solve all what's going on in your life. Do not fall away. And include somebody else. Sometimes ask somebody else to share with somebody that's a believer, a strong believer. I feel like, because I'm telling you, spiritual warfare will sometimes make you feel like you're going crazy. You start having doubts. You start having unnatural thoughts. You need to go and find someone that is spiritually strong in your own, and who you feel is spiritually strong. And you just share some things. You don't have to share everything, but you need a prayer partner. Somebody that's going to keep you lifted up emotionally and spiritually. It's going to have your back when you don't feel like praying, but they're praying for you. And then there is the power of praise. The power of praise is the most powerful prayer you could pray. You take your focus off the problems and you put it onto God. And you praise Him through the storm. As Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Even though his wife was saying, won't you just curse God and die? He not only had all the things that were going on, even his own wife was saying, it's time to give up and call it quits. You need to learn how to praise Him in the storm. Because you don't see any sunshine in the storm, but I want to tell you, you may not see it physically, but in the spirits you can see. When you start talking to Jesus and you start praising Him, you don't focus on the problems, you focus on God. I'm telling you, God always shines. The Lord always shines. No darkness can stop it. His light penetrates the darkest of darkness. And sometimes that's just what we need to feel the radiance and the sunshine and the brightness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say going through spiritual warfare, it's gonna pull you. It's gonna cause you to work harder in your prayer life. But even with that, our prayers are not just for ourselves. You see, sometimes I gotta get into a spiritual warfare, not because I want to, because I need to. Because there's a name up here. There's so many names on that blackboard, but there's one name on there. I'm going to get my battle cry going on. I have not stopped praying for that individual. Because I know this. They may not see their need for salvation, but as a believer, I do. And I'm going to keep praying, and I'm not going to give up, because that's my battle cry. And I'm not just going to do it like a drive-thru like McDonald's. I'm going to do it like, Lord, come on now. I'm seeing this lifestyle, and I'm just seeing this person, and I know that if you were to call that life over, that they'll be separated from you, and I don't want that for that person. And I know they're doing foolish things and sinful things, but I'm asking you to plead. I'm pleading to you today that you just drop your awesome love all over this person, that they might come to the realization that they are lost and need you in their life. And I'm going to keep praying that prayer every day. Every day. So I'm going to fight that spiritual warfare fight, because I know also there's another force on the other side saying, no, come on, let's have some fun. You know, let's go do this. You don't believe in that. Remember what happened to you back in the day when you went to church. Remember this person was a Christian, how they spoke to you. Do you remember them Christians you've seen, how they acted? That's how they all act. So there's another side that's attacking as well. But I'm not going to give up. Amen. We're going to pray because salvation is truly the eternal gift that lasts forever. It is the most precious gift a person could have. So I'm going to pray not just for myself in spiritual warfare, but I'm always cautious because I know what spiritual warfare does. Because what happens is, what happens when you start praying for someone, whether it's salvation or you're praying for someone that's in spiritual warfare, the demonic eyes go, they turn right to you, and sometimes they'll run right to you and attack you. But you know what? Sometimes they run from you because they're afraid. Not because of you, but because of who's in you, and you know how to pray, and you know the words, and you know the power of the Scripture. You see, they count the loss. They count the numbers if they go to battle, how many they might lose. So our prayers are not only for ourselves, but they're for others. As I use this Scripture a lot, the prayer of a righteous man. It's powerful and effective. I'm using NIV today. This is why you want somebody in your corner that knows how to pray. And their life is a Christ-like life. It's not that they're perfect, but I want people around me to pray for me that knows how to pray, because I know Scripture says that their prayers are powerful and effective. So I don't want someone that's living in sin. I don't want somebody that's drifting away from God praying for me. I want someone who's walking with Christ to pray for me. Because I know their prayers are powerful, touching the throne of grace, asking favor from God. And God loves to give it. But the Scripture also says that we are to stay alert. We can't get sober. We can't sleep. We can't get quiet. We need to know the signs of spiritual warfare. We need to know the signs. Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking who he may devour." He's searching back and forth. Go back to the book of Job, 1st, 2nd chapter. Where you been? Going back and forth on the earth. Going back and forth. Not who was he picking? People. He picked a man who was following God. Quit thinking he's picking lost people. He's picking out people who are following God in a good way to knock them off, to push them off the track, to derail them. That's what he does. We have to be alert. We have to stay alert. We have to stay alert. My first experience, and I'm not going to share this story. My first experience is truly, spiritual warfare truly, was in Huntington. And since I've been here, it has not stopped. I want to share some things that have helped me in times of going through spiritual warfare. And I hope that they will help you, because if you don't think that you're going to go through spiritual warfare, you are fooling yourself. You want to try to get your marriage better, you're going to have problems right out the gate. Why? Because you're trying to do what God wants you to do. You're trying to stay single and do it in an honorable way before God. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some spiritual battles from time to time. Darkness may wait a year. It may hit you today and hit you 3 years later. Or it may just be constantly on you. There's no time. Only God knows that time frame. Number one, here's what I do. I pray with all my heart and all my hope in Jesus. This is what I did, because I've always prayed out of faith. And I want to tell you, my faith has been rocked a few times. Don't think my faith is not rocked a few times. But all my hope and all my heart, I'm going to pray with all heart to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you will not pray as hard as in your life when you're praying in spiritual warfare? Number two, I don't have to understand why. I don't have to understand everything that is going on. But I pray to the one that does. I don't have to know everything that is going on around me. I have to trust the Lord. Book of Job. Job's same way. He didn't know all that was going around him at that time. I don't always know what's going around me all the time when it comes to spiritual warfare, but I need to keep my focus on Him. Satan always wants you to get your eyes off Jesus. Always on to Him. Always on to the problem. Because we get confused because we can't fix it. Because if we could fix it, we would have already fixed it. So that keeps our mind all mushed up. We don't know what to do. So if I don't understand, I'm okay with that. I don't have to understand it all. I don't have to figure it all out. I'm going to trust Him. Number three is my prayers are more deep and personal during spiritual warfare. They're more deep. They're more personal. They're more specific. And then when God answers, I'm just so thankful. And I know that He answered because those prayers were specific. But also, I eat more of God's bread when I'm in spiritual battle. I eat more of God's bread, which is God's Word right there in front of you. I eat more of the Word of God. I have to eat more of that because I need to keep drawing to God. Because if I'm not drawing to God, what am I doing? I'm drawing to the problem. We are not very good at fixing problems. We have counselors. We have therapists. We have coaches. And people can be in that stuff their whole lifetime. Now, I want to say that we need those. We do. But we need Christian ones. There is a difference between the way the world counsels and the way that Christians counsel. And even if you get a Christian counselor, you still need to check them out. Because we all don't always agree sometimes when it comes to the Word of God either. And I think all of us also don't agree on how to raise our children in certain specific ways. But you got to eat more of God's Word. Number five, when loneliness comes in like a flood, you got to talk to Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, those conversations are going to be more than 5 minutes. They may be all day. You can be working, you can be praying, you can be singing, you can be praising, whatever, you know, you turn over to praise and worship, whatever you're doing, and you're just putting God in your life, and you're just focusing on that stuff, and sometimes God allows you to be in there for a while because you haven't been there for a while. See what I'm saying? You haven't been there. You haven't been personal with Him for a while, so He allows the spiritual warfare stuff. He uses that for His glory in a way many times. He turns it around. Even though we're going through suffering and pain, He'll use that to strengthen us and draw ourselves to Him. So when loneliness comes in, don't isolate yourself. But you can feel lonely. You need to fight that and talk to the Lord about that. Go back to John chapter 17 when He went into the garden. There was a moment of loneliness. But also the Psalms have gotten me through so many times. The book of Psalms, just reading it. You know why? Especially the first half of Psalms, you know why? Because there's some guys, but mostly it's David, wrote some things when he was being ran, when Saul was chasing him and he had all these things going on in his life. His heart was thrown out on the pages. But he always turned it back to God. Know how hard, how dark the moment was. He'd always bring it back to God as my Savior. He'll get me through. Even if the beginning he would say, "Where are you, God?" And I have said that, "Lord, where are you? I can't hear from you. I know you're here, but I don't understand what's going on. But I know that you're going to work this through. But Lord, they're on me. They're hard on me. I can't figure out how to get to this, to that, and move this out of the way. What am I doing? I'm sharing my problem, but I'm also sharing it with Jesus Christ." Who can do something about it? When the hits just keep coming, number seven, I got to give out another battle cry. I don't know about you, but y'all just never praise like you just kind of get physical in it. People will see you somewhere and they think you're crazy. But you know what? You just get into it because you're like, because here it is. When you pray like that, I'm telling you, and you're off by yourself, I'm telling you what. If I saw that, I'm like, there's no doubt that person is a believer. You're doing it in secret. Nobody does anything like that. Nobody, if they don't believe it, they're not going to do that in secret and not be real. But you got to give that battle cry out. You got to, because it's a problem. Deal with the problem. Fight with the problem. Fight the problem, but fight it with Christ. Get Christ in that fight with you. Number 8, I spiritually grow after spiritual warfare. Every single time, there's a growth after spiritual warfare. Doesn't mean you haven't experienced loss. Doesn't mean you haven't experienced some defeat in a few areas. It happens. Doesn't even mean that you, it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. But you always grow through spiritual warfare when you let Christ be a part of it. Every time. Every time. And then some, what I also know is this. Not only do you grow, but I've never went through it without God blessing. God loves to bless. He has what you need. Sometimes he don't let you see it. He has it right there with him. Sometimes he doesn't let you really know about what you really need. Sometimes you have a want, you think it's a need, but he has something for you. And I'm going to tell you, whatever he gives to you, it's always better than what you thought it was going to be. And sometimes it's completely different, and you go, thank God. Thank you, God, for not giving me what I wanted. What you gave to me was what I needed. There's always more going on with spiritual warfare than just a fight with darkness and in your life. Number 9 says this, I know that there's another battle around on the horizon. We're on this side of heaven, so we're in the battle. You're going to go whatever you've done through in 2020. This is now 2022. Whatever's done in the past, you know what? You got another one coming. That bully, those bullies, the demonic side, the dark forces, all them, they're bullies. They don't stop. They don't stop. There's always going to be a spiritual warfare over the horizon. But I want to remind you that what you went through in your past through spiritual warfare helps you build up to be able to go to the next one and through the next one. Because there's going to be a time, if your faith has not been rocked, it will be. Your faith will be tested. It's going to be tested. Number 10, I remind myself, Jesus has never failed me yet. Jesus has never failed you yet. I like that. And always puts Jesus high and lifted up, exactly where he needs to be. My problems are sometimes, I think, are big, are really not that big a problem. Maybe not quite as big sometimes as I think they are. When you're raising kids and money is a tough issue sometimes when you're raising kids. You've got 2-3 kids. You're trying to put food on the table. You're not making as much money as you'd like to make. You're trying to figure it out. Bank calls, says, where's our money? Car needs to be paid. We're about ready to come pick it up. Kids don't understand it. They're sitting there. You're trying to put food on that table, and wife is trying to get a job somehow. She's trying to figure it out. She's pregnant. You're like, I don't even know how I'm going to make it. How am I going to pay this car payment? You're at a moment of crossroads. You're either going to go down this road and you're going to sit there and you're going to be upset about it, and you're going to end up into stress mode and anxiety, and you're going to start to feel sorry for yourself. You might end up doing something stupid, either borrowing more money than you can afford. Are you going to take something that's not yours? That's exactly the road Satan wants you to take. Take control of it. Or you're going to be at the crossroads and you're going to get before God Almighty. And if God can control the stars and make the stars and the moon and put it all into a perfect whole solar system and put people on the earth and the grass and the mountains and the fish. And Job says, can you walk the recesses of the deep? God says, can you walk to the recesses of the deep? Means the bottom of the ocean. Can you walk there? Of course, Job says no, but God can. If we're going to trust God with all that, you think he can work with your little financial problem? You think he can work with your marriage? You think he can work with your children? You think he can work with anything? Yeah, he can. You're not the first person to go through what you're going through. That's why Jesus is a healer. He's a miracle worker. When you're going through spiritual warfare, sometimes you just need a miracle. But you got to believe that he can still do a miracle. You got to believe that he can still do a miracle. And some of you, as I know your life, you are a miracle. I'm just being honest. Some of you, God, what I know about your life story, you are a miracle. And the miracle is that you let Jesus do something in your life. Ask him to put his hands on you. Ask him to breathe on you. Ask him to what right there with you. Turn it over to him, no matter what you're going through. And I can guarantee you this. He won't let you down. Darkness is going to still keep fighting. But you're going to get through it. If you do it God's way. Father, I know that there are some that be going through spiritual warfare.